Hare Krishna has written out on a mimeograph piece of paper, and it's handed out to all of the people in the room. So we sing, and Prabhupada plays the drum, and it's an odd experience, believe me, for 1966 in New York City. Well, time passes, and I have to say that this person, we start to go to his classes, and we start to attend lectures, and we're getting more and more attached to him. And as I was walking down the gallery, often I would see him coming at me, and he's just, you know, he's wearing these saffron robes that are soft and aromatic, and he's, you know, and he's got his umbrella, and it's the hottest summer in New York City in the last 20 years, so it's just like 110 degrees out. And there comes Prabhupada, like blowing in the wind, walking down the street in these saffron robes. And it just sucks your breath away. I mean, honestly, it's just, it becomes magical. And so he's living in an environment that is not so good. He's starting to live with somebody that's cracking up, a young man who is not doing very well and treating him rather poorly. And so he comes calling on Mukunda and I more and more. And frequently he'll come over just to spend an afternoon with me. And Mukunda's out, and you know, we really don't eat in those days. It's a very different life, you know. Food wasn't interesting to us, but it was always polite to offer Prabhupada food, and so I would offer him lemonade. I would squeeze some lemons and put some sugar in it for him. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Is this okay? Is this what you want to hear? Swami.
It's right there.
This one. Prabhupada, Swami. Starts calling on us more and more, and finally he says, I need to move in with you because this isn't working out. And Mukunda and I think, well, it isn't going to work out for him to live with us. That's just, we have pot in the house. You know, we can't have him coming into our lives. I mean, the transition was just diametrically opposed to one another. So Mukunda and I talk about it, and a couple more people get involved in these classes that we're going to. And we decide it's time to get him a storefront. And Prabhupada has urged us to do so, and urged us to incorporate, and urged us to go get some legal papers. And it all happens very quickly. 267 Avenue was born. And it's put together, and Prabhupada is teaching classes and instructing us on how our lives need to change. And one of those things is, are you married? No, we live together. Oh, you should be married. You get married and then you live together. That's how it's supposed to be, but you forgot. So that's how it happens. And he says, but before you can be married, you need to become devotees, and you need to be initiated. Well, you know, we're in New York City, in the middle of the apartment suddenly is a fire pit. And he's going to put fruits into the fire and put black smudges on our forehead and tell us to follow four basic rules and our lives will be changed. My God, what have I got myself into? It's just almost too much. And so that's what happens. We become initiated, and you know, the room is just like so hot. I mean, if you thought it was hot in here tonight dancing, this place is like, there's a fire in the middle of a very small room, what can I say? So, we're initiated. And he says, all you have to do is no illicit sex, no intoxicants, no meat eating, and no gambling. And that works. We don't eat meat. We have pot, but you know, that's nothing. And don't gamble. Gambling's not important. So we're on this road, and then he says, well, you know, it would be nice to have a place in San Francisco. We need to spread our wings. So, we were going to go to India anyway. But first of all, he needed to get us married, because now that we're initiated, we need to be legal. And I'm thinking, well, it's time to call my sister and involve her in this process. And since my sister is my only blood family left in this world, I think, well. And my sister, I have no idea what she's doing now. The last I knew, she was kind of going to read college, and which is read college in Portland, Oregon. So I call Yamuna out, and Yamuna comes in, and I think I'm going to let her just tell you what she finds. But before I do that, I want to say that Mukunda and I threw the I Ching before we left New York City. And it said, you are going to go to the foot of a mountain and your lives have been changed, and we both threw, as I recall, it was number 64, and we went to
where was Mama? Three Sisters.
No, and it wasn't. Oh, we did. Yes, we did. Well, actually, we went to take a honeymoon in. What's it, the southern part of Portland? Anyway, that's exactly what we did. We went to the base of the mountain. And I think that's all. I'm starting to get rattled here. Too much. I haven't really talked in public for a long time, so this is very strange to me. And forgive me if I botched up.
To all you glorious Vaishnavas and guests who are Sharanakti, and you girl my obeisances to you, to Ramaswami, I feel deeply, deeply indebted to him for coming. And it was a bit of a surprise. We were all looking forward to meeting Radhanath Maharaj, and then this wonderful remembering mantra. For the first time in all these years, we naturally spoke about our father, Srila Prabhupada. And then Shanchanar came up with this idea, and so we're going to give it a try. Thank you to all of you. Please forgive me my shortcomings. In my memory of Srila Prabhupada, but it's an attempt to snip back to that day. So my sister indeed sent me a letter that I arrived. It arrived during an amazing storm in Portland, Oregon, where trees were splitting in my front yard, and this mailman came around the corner in the storm, came up the front porch, bounded up and sat down, and pulled out of his little mail pouch a blue envelope. And I saw it was Janky's handwriting on the envelope. So the mailman said, this looks like it's something big. You better open this now. So I did, and it was an invitation on very short notice to come to New York to her wedding with the Indian Swami. It was going to be an Indian wedding Swami ceremony. And so, just within a few days, you know, there are times in your life where you wrap up one phase of your life and you start another, and you know it. And I knew before I got on that plane that I was going to be changing gears by going to New York. So I arrived the morning before the wedding. And Mukunda said, met me at the Bowery, and he said, so when we meet Swamiji, he's a very saintly man, we call him Swamiji, you can fold your hands and say Hare Krishna. And I can do that. And so we went to this apartment that she's speaking of. It's just a building behind the storefront on 26th Second Avenue, which is the temple. And Srila Prabhupada, when I opened the door, there's a shoes all inside the hallway. And then I come into a little front room, and there's a row of windows, and coming in the windows, sunlight, and it's about 11:30, maybe 12, between 11:30 and 12:30. And all around the sides of the room are men, kind of like, they look typically hippies, and but they were kind of, just didn't even pay any attention to me, a little gruff. And Janky whispered, this is them. She told me about these men at the temple. She was the first woman disciple of Srila Prabhupada's, and there were no other women coming at that time. So she said, I said, Hare Krishna Swamiji. So the first thing he said to me, he said, oh, where have you come from? And I said, I've come from Oregon for the wedding. And he said, well, how many other family members will be coming for the wedding? And I said, I'm the only one. He said, oh. Generally, from the family, the woman's side of the family, many members come. He said, but that's all right. If you're the only one, that's fine. He said, can you help me cook tomorrow? So I was just stunned. This is before lunch. I was kind of like this and sit down. So this lunch turns out to be a lunch that Swamiji has cooked himself. And I find out that he's been cooking this lunch for many, many days for all the devotees. Now all the people that are there are men, and they have very hearty appetites. And the person who can eat the most chapatis is considered a really great soul. And one of the men could eat 12 chapatis at a sitting. So Srila Prabhupada personally not only cooked the meal, but he cooked maybe 75 to 100 chapatis for 12 men. So I had never tasted anything Indian in my life except for mother's curry, which she got out of a jar. And Srila Prabhupada not only cooked, but then began to serve. And he had no shirt on. Again, it was extremely hot. And I had like a little mini skirt, weighed about 700 pounds less than I do now. And a little tank top like all the girls wear. And, you know, had no idea of dress decorum whatsoever. And so he starts to put the food on the plate, and I'm thinking, oh, this looks interesting, a lot of brown and yellow, and some rice. And so I was also macrobiotic at this time, so I was really a little leery about eating the lunch. But because Swamiji is serving, and I'm thinking, okay, so somehow or another, as he's going around the room, every time he comes to my plate, he wants to put a little more on. And I keep going, no, thank you very much. I don't want any more. And the devotees are kind of like chuckling. The people that are sitting around the room, every time he does this, they're kind of watching me and laughing about this putting more on my plate thing. So somehow we get through the lunch. He served the whole meal. And then he said, he turns around to me and he says, now for the specialty. And I looked over at him and I said, Swamiji, I'm really full. I can't eat another bite. He said, no, you're about to eat this. And I'm thinking, whatever it is, I don't want to eat this. I don't want this at all. So he goes over to the corner of the room, and in a can with a snap-off lid. He takes his beautiful hand with his two fingers like this, and these three fingers are up in the air, and he reaches in and he picks up a brown ball. And he lifts it up off the top of the snap-top lid, and it's dripping sugar syrup. And I'm thinking, I do not want that sweet. Whatever it is, I do not want the sweet. I'm not eating any sugar, and I don't want it. And so he starts to head over towards me, and I go, oh, I'm really so full, I can't eat another bite. And so all the devotees are going, yes, yes, give it to me. And Prabhupada's right above me, and he says, take, take. Dripping, and he goes, no, take, take. So I'm looking for the potted palm to toss this, whatever it is. But he, so I put on my hand, and there's the brown orb, and then he says, eat, eat. And so I put it in my mouth, and as soon as I put it in my mouth, this is a gulab jamun. And as soon as I put it in my mouth, there's the gulab jamun explosion experience. And all the devotees, the minute it goes in my mouth, start going, so they know the secret that I don't know about this. So I'm kind of thinking, well, this is a wonderful experience, but I don't know if I'm coming back here tomorrow for another one of these meals. But then he reminds me, he said, so we will cook tomorrow, can you come? I said, my servant, who generally helps me, he is out of station right now. So that person happened to be devotee called Kirtanananda, who was in a mental hospital. Put in a mental hospital by his parents for becoming a devotee. So somehow or another, he said, be here at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. That was the day of the wedding. So I'll only finish this with this one short part of the story and then quit. No, I think I'll tell that later and move on to Malati. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
My obeisances to all of you. Jan and Mike, Janakivakunda. They were sending some letters back and forth that Vakunda would write when he first went to New York. So immediately there was some talk of his success in the music business. And then suddenly there was a shift in the tone of the letters. And he mentioned meeting this Swami from India. And then in the next letter, they mentioned something that was really astounding, because we were all from this hippie background. And, the hippie sampradaya. So just like we have our four rules and regulations, so the hippies have no rules and regulations. So he mentioned in the letter that they met this Swami and they were going to get married. So that was, big opera for the hippies, you don't do that. So that let us know something very serious was taking place. Besides the marriage, the fact that they were getting married, that something very serious was happening. And of course, Joan, as she was known then, took off to go to New York. And Sam and Melanie, that's Jim myself, we were at the top of a mountain. And we had a couple, he was looking out for fires. We were actually employed by the government. We had a couple days off. We went to another mountain, and when we came back, we saw a little vehicle there. And really nobody came to visit us up at the top of this mountain. So we were kind of curious who would be there. And it was a little one-room log cabin where we lived. And when we went inside, there was Jan, Mike, and Joan. And Maurice.
Maurice the gypsy.
But she was really, she was doing something that was really fascinating to me. I mean, first of all, you know, usually you make somebody feel welcome to your home, but they'd already made themselves at home. So, and the fire was going on her wood stove, and she was rolling these little balls out, and then making little dough balls, and then rolling them out, and then flipping them on the fire, and they were blowing up. And it was just mesmerizing. Couldn't figure out what she was doing, why she was doing it. And so we wanted to offer them something. And so we said, would you like some LSD? And they said no. I said no. So I'm thinking, my God, they're married. Now they don't want this, you know, what's going on? And that evening, by Janaki's grace, we had our first Krishna Prasad, our first chapatis. And so they were married, they weren't taking drugs, they weren't eating meat, they changed their names, you know, what else? So after dinner, Mukunda said, I want to show you these books. They're really far out books that the Swamiji has brought from India. And he introduced us to Srila Prabhupada's original sets of the Bhagavatam. And on the cover, as we're all familiar with the cover, I mean, now we're so familiar with it, we don't think about how unusual it could possibly be to someone who has no introduction to any Eastern religion or philosophy. Because now Eastern religion and philosophy is just very common. I mean, you see the word guru in the newspaper quite commonly. But in those days, guru was in itself quite an innovative expression. But to speak of seeing blue people coming out of bubbles with four arms. And then one of these blue people was on a snake with another man coming out with four heads. And when I asked Mukundi, well, who is that? He said, this is God. And that was pretty good because, you know, the hippies, we were all trying to be God, and I was kind of not really buying that part of the hippie philosophy because it seemed like there was a lot of sorry gods around. And this looked like a pretty good alternative. And inside, when he was showing the Sanskrit, the transliteration, the purport, the, you know, everything was, it was hard to take it in. And I was trying to just find something I could understand. And it wasn't that I could understand this, but I kept seeing one phrase repeated, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this beautiful phrase was just saying something in a very special way. And that there was only one God and he was supreme, so all these little sorry gods didn't matter anymore. But because of this, I felt a little interested that perhaps this Swami might be a little different than some of the other sorry Swamis that I had previously come in contact with. And Mukunda told us they were going to San Francisco to start a temple. And I remember asking him, well, what's a temple? And he very seriously responded, it's a storefront painted white. So he asked us if we'd like to help, and I was thinking, well, that wouldn't be too hard to do. But we were there under a contract that we couldn't leave until it snowed, so, you know, well, when it snows, we'll come down. But by Krishna's arrangement, it actually snowed the next day, so we were able to leave and travel to San Francisco.
I know that in all the years that I was with Prabhupada, for example, and Prabhupada cringed. when she said something to Prabhupada, he listened very seriously. And I I've always been curious ever since then, because I never saw anyone else have that relationship. How you reacted to Srila Prabhupada in New York before we even saw you, but what kinds of exchanges did you have? Any stories that you could remember?
Well, I think it started back when I told you that he was coming over to our loft and Sam Schindler pointed out something interesting today, that while Prabhupada was a guide and a teacher to us, we were teaching him, all of us, we're teaching him about the consciousness of people in their teens and 20s in the late 60s. And there was a lot to learn. You know, I mean, it was such a different kind of consciousness. Now, Prabhupada came to the United States with a mission, and that was to fix people up with going back to Godhead. Easy. So, I mean, he had to learn about what we were doing, and we had to learn about what he was teaching us. And the combination was just very intense. And I was rather a skeptical person, as I kind of pointed out to you in the beginning about meeting Prabhupada. But when I would ask him a question, his genuineness and his sincerity could not be matched. And so, almost very quickly, I learned to trust this man implicitly and to listen to what he had to say to me. But it wasn't the kind of relationship where I bowed. I mean, I loved to kiss his foot. I mean, that was a great honor to me. But equally as much, I like to cuddle with him. And for him to pat my head when I was feeling bad, or for me to, you know, hold his hand when he was telling me about what a wonderful person his sister was after she had died. So we had some really nice exchanges. You know, that sounds really odd. We had a relationship that was very unique, I am told. And I believe it to be true, and I believe it to be true to this day. But my exuberance in being with Prabhupada was very sincere, as much as his was with us. And so when I say, we in San Francisco, Mukunda and I lived three doors down from him in the same apartment building, and so my cat would go take naps in his bathtub. And
Scuttle runs there.
And so, you know, he would have to come over and go, "Janky, black cat is in my bathtub again."